Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew.
Am I on? I am on. Sorry. I didn't hear my
And Ben is on!
Come on, baby!
He's on, baby! We're all on. What are we on for?
We are on for another fantastic episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
BBCC.
It's a good one this time.
It's a very good one. We've got a very strong guest.
He's incredibly strong. He beat the fuck out of us.
Yeah, he's huge.
That was a real shame. It's James Acaster, and he came in here swinging his dick around, punched us all in the chops, and left. So
it's a short but fun listen. A lot of listeners have been waiting for it for a long time.
It's an age-old grudge match, or grudge match. Enjoy the episode, have a listen, and if you would like to contribute to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, don't forget you can email us at beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
And that goes straight to the P.O. box.
That goes straight to the P.O. box, and if you are sending it to the P.O. box,
It's all we ask.
Just be honest, guys.
It's all we ask.
It's all we're asking for. Well, enjoy the episode, and we'll see you on the other side.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold Cuts.
Welcome to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Yeah. Thanks very much, James, for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, you're not a... You're not a flatmate anymore, are you? You've got your own place. You live alone.
I love it so much.
Why did you? What do you love about living alone that you didn't love about having a
flatmate?
First
of all, I just want to say that the last people I lived with were lovely, and I loved living with them. But they made me. They were so great that they made me want to live on my own because.
Okay. That's the same thing that happened with
my
Brendan.
Friend Joe had bought this flat, and me, him, and my friend and his girlfriend Kate. All live together, and he made it his own. He made it feel like a home.
Right.
And I hadn't been in a... This sounds so sad. I hadn't been in a home for like 10 years. So
that's since
like,
childhood, yeah.
So
yeah.
You move out your parents' house, and then you're doing flat shares, and you're putting up with the mould on the ceiling and the door that doesn't work and all that kind of stuff, and it's fine. And you don't really notice any of it until you're in a nice home again, sitting on a nice sofa watching TV and going, oh, I forgot that this is my favourite thing in the world.
Cooking you're proper meals. Yeah,
sitting on a nice sofa watching the television. And then I just like got really obsessed with, I really want to... do that and make somewhere my own. So like I just like the fact now that I can just sitting on the sofa watching TV.
Yeah.
Feels like the best thing ever after like years of not doing it.
Sorry, but what were you doing in the other houses other than
I was laying in bed watching the laptop on my
The laptop on your chest.
I didn't have a proper TV or I was like out a lot and like, you know, other people be watching the TV.
Or if the couples are watching.
If the couple's watching the TV, you don't want to go and just sit there in between them, do you?
No, exactly.
You want to leave them to their private time.
Yeah.
I completely get that. And now you can watch TV to your heart's content, but instead you're on tour constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Never see you.
Always away. And when I get home, it's really intensely emotional.
Yeah. How long have you been in your new house?
A year now.
So has it start? Have you got it? Homely.
Yes.
Is there still stuff to be done or is
there's
it...
still stuff to be done, but I'm about to like sort out those. So there's like basically all your tiled rooms need to be sorted out.
That's I've just realised I've been.
Yeah, you visited because you dropped over very generously. Joel Domit, friend of the podcast, I assume.
He's a friend of the podcast,
sure. What was a huge cabinet?
A huge cabinet, yeah.
Huge old cabinet. And Clarkie just chipped in, didn't even have... You were doing two friends a favour at once.
Yeah, I had no skin in the game whatsoever.
And you helped just transport this cabinet round. It's pretty big. It was
Dominic donating you the cabinet, or was it a housewarming gift?
He was donating it. Basically, Joel was also moving at the same time, and he came in to see my place and realised that all of my furniture was, what's the word? When it's been...
Shabby chic.
Wood that's been...
Distressed.
Oh, upcycled.
Yeah, kind of repurposed. Like whatever. Repurposed, yeah. Old wood. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sure.
Wood that was used for other stuff and is now furniture. And Joel was like, I've got a cabinet at home that's exactly this kind of... It's from the same range by the looks of it. we're looking to get rid of it when we move.
Boom.
Just drop it round here.
So and he didn't charge you a penny?
Didn't charge me a penny. It's Joel Dommett, baby.
He's Joel, a lovely
nicest
guy.
Man in the world.
He's a very nice man.
Only person nicer than him is Clarkie. No skin in the game, did it anyway.
Yeah.
It's great.
So should we solve some people's flat share based beefs?
Yes, yes, please.
Do you want to start with yours, Tom?
Yes. So I guess this is, I like this. Is it beef or is it a prank?
Okay. This is a great start to the show.
Lovely start. You know
is it beef? Is it a prank?
Is this a regular section of the show?
It is now. It feels like it should be.
In fact, Clarky, a little bit more
do
work.
A, do as a jingle, mate.
Do as a jingle for it. Is it beef or is it a prank? Will you sort that out for us, Clarky?
Sure. Do you want me to do it like live now?
You could do one live now, and if we're not happy with it, we're going to ask you to go away and write one.
Oh, no. I know which I'm going to have to do.
Go and do one live now.
Is it beef or is it a prank?
Yes.
We're going to need that in post, I'm afraid.
I like it. I enjoyed that, actually. But you know what? You could take that. You could clip that out and just give it a bit of music.
Judge it up.
Very 90s CBBC, that. That's what I liked about it.
That's sort of our vibe.
That's very much
like upcycle. Upcycle that jingle.
Get your own back.
Distress that wood.
All right, let's hear the jingle now.
Is it beef or is it a prank?
And we're back from the jingle that Clarky's just done. So, Tom, is it beef or is
someone's
it a prank?
Someone's been doing commercial radio recently.
Absolutely. We never say, and we're back. That's not how it's...
And we're back from that jingle.
And we're back from playing Kasabian.
So, Joe writes... It's a strong front name.
Strong front name from Joe. Are we talking Joe with an E or Joe...
Joe with an E.
Joe with an E.
Yes. Is Joe with an E, is that what makes it male? Or can you get producer Emma nods?
I think you can have Joey as a unisex name.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's
of course,
Creek.
Famously so. But, and a kangaroo. But you yes. can't have Joe as a female Joe with an E.
Well, here's the thing.
Traditionally.
Because I know a male Joe who is J-O.
Oh.
You know a male Joe who's J-O?
Yeah.
And is that an affectation or was that parents' choice?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to...
What's his
I'll
full name?
To text him. We only do front names only, I'm afraid, on the podcast.
But
we
is his name Jonathan?
I mean, like, yeah.
His name is... Oh, is it Joseph? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Or is it like Johannes?
I think I know if it was Johannes. I'm pretty sure...
Or Johan?
I'm pretty sure it's Joseph.
Is it Johannesburg?
It is Johannesburg, yeah. That's his full name. Johan.
Good name,
Esberg.
Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Johannesburg, yeah. Not a bad name.
Depends what your surname is.
If you are called Johannesburg, do tweet us at Pappy's Tweet.
Right, so we've cleaned up the Joe scenario. Here we go.
Scenario Joe.
Before prank. My flatmate keeps hiding copies of Margaret Thatcher's autobiography in my house. My girlfriend found one. And nearly broke up with me.
Can I ask a question
End
here?
Of beef.
Which I know we're not going to get the answer from Joe because that's all he's given us. But copies.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, isn't it? So has he gone to one of those like book warehouses and just bought a ton of them?
Or whenever he sees one, he buys one.
Whenever he sees one, he buys one.
Like an assassin with Catcher in the Rye. Do you remember that? Isn't that a thing?
Oh, well, yeah.
If you want to be an assassin, you... Or is that like a few people have done that, or just one? Or
wait, what's
I invented this?
I know.
No,
I don't know.
Oh, he's thinking the Day of the Jackal.
I know one guy who did it. Well, not personally.
Well, he
Was it the guy who shot Reagan or someone?
Lennon.
Yeah, John Lennon. Mark Chapman was reading Catcher in the Rye while he waited for the police to pick him up.
And I think there's another assassin who had like
multiple copies
at home.
Right.
Do you think that's why J.D. Salinger is a recluse?
Because he's afraid he's going to get shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or because he's shooting people.
Oh, it could be that.
Yeah.
Is J.D. Salinger a murderer?
Phone in.
Again, who's it? You sound like you're the one who's been doing commercial radio. You literally can't phone in, guys. If we're only giving out front names, we're certainly not giving out our mobile phone
numbers. Can't phone in. Here's Shed 7. I think there's enough of a thing. I think it might be the guy who shot Reagan, the guy who shot Lennon. I don't know. I that's what I've heard.
So this guy hiding Thatcher's autobiography,
what are you saying about him?
Well it's good because if you're at someone's house and you see that they've got Thatcher's autobiography, you kind of think, oh, maybe they were studying something at uni, they required it. If you see two copies,
this is it, isn't it? It suggests they're a fan.
You get to a third copy and then you start thinking...
If you've got a copy in every room... Like, because the thing is, obviously, Thatcher, a fascinating person, whatever you think of her politics.
Sure.
I haven't watched the iPlayer documentary that everyone keeps saying to watch, but I've heard it's very, very good. She's an interesting person, so I would be interested to read her autobiography.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be interested to sort of make a fort out of copies of it.
I haven't
Now you suggested that as a possibility.
I haven't got enough reading stamina anymore to get through autobiographies of, like, my favourite people.
Who are your favourite people?
That's a good question.
I haven't written my autobiography yet either.
No. What would it be called? No skin in the game.
Clarky in the Rye?
Yes.
Clarky in the Rye. Who's your favourite person, Clarky?
Jackie Chan.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What more than so. Megan?
Oh!
She's going to be devoed.
Uh-oh.
Who's your favourite person? No, we'll accept Jackie Chan. We're not talking about, like...
famous people.
They can be famous.
When I was a kid, I remember being at church. I was raised a little Christian boy.
So it was Jesus.
This is the thing, is that we had a Sunday school thing where we all had to write, like, almost a profile about ourselves and draw a funny picture, and then it all went on the wall of the church. These are the kids of the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it said hero, and all the other kids wrote Jesus because it was the right answer. Yeah, and I was the only one who wrote Robin Williams.
But the answer is always Jesus.
Yeah.
If you get asked any question.
I know immediately.
In the Sunday school or anything like that. The answer is always God or Jesus.
Yeah.
It's never Robin Williams. Even if the question is, who is the star of Flubber? Jesus is still the answer.
Jesus, yeah, it's the star of everything. Because it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for God.
The old Flubber sermon.
Because I'm also a former Christian boy.
Mm-hmm. We all are, aren't we?
We all are, yeah.
It's a former Christian podcast. It's how the podcast started.
It's for lapsed Christians. When we had to do my confirmation, which you have to do as a Catholic, you get to pick another name, another middle name.
Yes.
And I picked...
Dealer's
choice, yeah.
You get to go.
And I
didn't know that.
I said I wanted to be James, right?
Yeah, thank you.
This is my pleasure. They asked why, and they said, why are you so, like... What is it about St. James that you really like? And I said, no, it's for Jimmy Page, the guitarist out of Led Zeppelin. And they were really upset by that. But I literally didn't know anything about St. James. So I couldn't. Yeah. I could talk for ages about Jimmy Page.
Sure.
Nice.
The double neck guitar.
Yeah.
Bowing it. The song remains the same. I could have a great chat, but they weren't interested.
My rock and roll act of rebellion in church was...
That wasn't rebellion, by the way. It's just I really liked Led Zeppelin.
Oh, right, okay.
You're not in trouble.
But I was at the time.
Is it, you reacted like you were in trouble there?
I've just suddenly remembered how upset the priest was.
If you were rebellious, it's fine.
Oh, I was rebellious in other ways, but not that wasn't it.
You were.
Yeah, on the back row of one evening service, sat next to Clarky.
The two of you making out.
I used my key to carve Praise God for Jarvis
in the back of the pew. I love it.
And it was like I was kind of doing it to show off to Clarky, and then I was really...
I mean, it worked.
Yeah.
I was really, racked with guilt for a good while after that.
Did they know it was you?
No. I told them it was Clarky. No, I didn't.
Clarky was too busy on stage mooning the crowd, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, they were singing
their Jackie Chan moves.
Favourite person?
I don't know, actually. I mean... My route one answer would be some, like, when I always go to is people like Steve, like your childhood answers, like Steve Ball, the Wolves hero.
Of course, Steve Ball, the Wolves
but
hero.
But I think in reality, it'd probably be like David Byrne in terms of like person I most admire and kind of go, he's done everything, he keeps doing everything right.
Yes. Mm.
And it's like, if you could have done what he's done. So I guess that, but I don't know, I don't want to meet him.
Oh, yeah, I find it very intimidating.
So, who, you know, it's how do you define favourite per... Whereas, you know, it's a tricky
I'd like
hero.
To meet, I'd like to meet Steve Bull. Even though I know so little about his career. I've seen a bit of, you know... Steve Bull, by the way, did the Mr. and Mrs. for Parry's Stag Do.
Wow.
They'd videoed him doing all the questions.
That's pretty
answers.
Cool. Were you pretty giddy when you saw
it? I was pretty giddy, and then it got to a point where it was kind of slightly... like, Bully wasn't a massive fan of the answers.
He editorialised a little bit too much for my liking. He
didn't quite approve that Jane had asked Millie out first. He didn't think that didn't was like the way, that. That's not the way it should be done.
Okay.
Wasn't sure about writing poems. Wasn't sure how to handle that. Awesome.
None of us were sure about
that. Kind of got to the point where I felt like I was letting down my childhood hero to a certain degree. I also think there's that, like, say, for example, I was thinking about Clark and I have just come back from a music festival. It's like watching, like...
Front names only.
Front names only. That's like Liam on stage, and it's like, he's far and away not one of my favourite people. But, like, from a rock and roll point of view, it's like... And it's like, sometimes you don't want your heroes to be your favourite people because there's, you know... I don't know, it's like there's a...
Yeah, people like him, it's quite an iconic... You know, of my childhood and adolescence, he was a huge icon, even if I wasn't, like, a big Oasis fan. He was, one of the main, like, rock stars that were, like... You know, I remember him spitting on the crowd and stuff, and people... And news stories about how he spat on the audience, and what a shame. And I was thinking, even as a kid, oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, you spat on every audience you've ever...
Always.
That's your trademark.
I go out and I'll spit on him immediately. I'll let him know what's going on.
I'm James Acaster.
You gob on them all. I have accidentally spit on some audiences recently, actually, because I've got these braces in. These are Invisalign braces, these trays. But sometimes if I forget to take them off before I go on stage, it gets a bit frothy. And then I can, like, really give a punchline a little bit too much. And
Is there any chance of them flying out? Is there any chance of...
No, these will always stay in.
Right. They're locked in.
They're really locked in and sometimes hurt. But
Have you got them in currently?
Yeah, I'm currently wearing them.
Wow, they're great. You wouldn't have known.
Can't see them, right?
Whoa.
So,
I suppose that's where the Invisa bit comes from.
Yeah.
Catching up now.
Clarky's waking up, isn't he?
So, Thatcher's autobiography.
I
think it does depend if he's... Like, if he's bought one copy and he's reading it and he keeps hiding it because he's ashamed of reading it, that's one thing. If he's bought multiple copies, then it is a prank, definitely. If he's hiding them around the house to wind his mate up. The girlfriend nearly breaking up with him over it is pretty crazy. What, she didn't believe that it... Because that, I don't understand. Cause they're going to go into his room. So say it's hidden in his bedroom. And he's like... Oh, I don't know how that got there. And she's like, I don't believe you. And then he's like, no, Liam keeps putting like...
Is it Liam? He keeps spitting on me and putting copies of Thatcher's
autobiography. Yeah. He's hiding books around that. He keeps hiding this around the house all the time. And she's like, as if that's happened. Right. Do you know what? It's been a long time coming and we're fucking through. Because what's the argument there? She nearly broke up with him.
He's got to have certain Tory tendencies, I think, for that to cause a breakup. Like, there's got to be an element of going, I knew it.
I think there's aberrations.
Do you know what? You're the poster of Michael Gove, I can deal with. That's fine.
I understand.
The Little Shrine to Boris, that's okay as well. But this book, I think that the problem with it is that, you're absolutely right. If it's one copy and someone's reading it, that's history, isn't it? You're allowed to read. You know, if I went to a person's house and they had... Say they had two books about Hitler.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a specific house.
Okay.
I don't freak out in this house and go, right, well, Hitler lives here.
Yeah, sure.
Or a big Hitler fan.
Yeah.
I just go, you know, Hitler is a lesson from history. Thatcher is a lesson from history. We should learn about these things. We can't live in a world where all you hear are things you agree with. We can't live in an echo chamber.
Can I ask, though?
Yeah, go on.
Three books on Hitler.
Yeah. What is the cutoff point?
How big a Hitler section is too big a Hitler section?
Well, you just assume they did a history degree. I think you have to ask, did you do a history degree?
Okay, how about this? Three books of Hitler... Only three books in the house.
A small bookshelf right above the fireplace.
Yeah.
No television.
Yeah.
Three books of Hitler and no other books. I think that's alarm bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's when you're worried, aren't you? One of them signed.
So I think the best advice we give to Joe here, because I feel like this is a prank, not a beef. So what should he do? What should he do to prank back?
Get rid of all of his mates' room. Get rid of all of his books. Three books of Hitler.
Two bits.
Three copies of Mein Kampf as well, because it's autobiography, isn't it? I know that's not technically his autobiography. It kind of is.
But super glue a Hitler poster to the wall.
Super glue. That's really good.
Hitler duvet.
I mean, it's gonna, because you have to have that custom made. Yeah. And that's going to slightly mess with your algorithms.
It's membership.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're never allowed back in that branch on Streatham High Road. But it's going to mess with your algorithms. Because, you know, like if you buy a thing and then every time you go on a website, little pictures appear of that thing all around the website. What you don't want is every time you log on to, you know, whatever, the Independence News site, a picture of Hitler appears.
That's what Joe does, though. Joe goes on his flatmate's laptop.
Get in there at the
end. Orders the Hitler duvet.
Because this is what crime is in the 21st century now, isn't it? It's sort of cyber terrorism. I've seen Spectre. You've got to get in there. You get in there and you tap away on his. You tap away on his.
Crosby's just discovered cyber crime.
I've just found out about it, guys.
This is the 21st century.
Got a regular Johnny Lee Miller on.
Guys, you're lucky. I left the house, but you know what? I'm going off grid. Genuinely, going off grid.
But first, this is Insomnia by Faithless. Crosby embraces the future.
I can't get no sleep. it does make you worried, though. Cybercrime. I mean, I say it makes me worried. It absolutely doesn't. I haven't got a password. I got an email recently.
You haven't got a password?
I haven't got a password manager. I haven't got one of those. I've got a password.
What's a password manager?
Oh, Tom.
Tom, you've got to get yourself a password manager.
Come on,
I've already told you I've not got one.
Also, I don't have one either. I know of them.
Yeah.
So what's a password manager?
The idea that...
I'll be your password manager, mate.
Yes, bro. Yes. Is it praise God for Jarvis?
But the eye of Jarvis is a one, and the eye of Jarvis is an at symbol, so you've got to be safe, guys. That's all I'm saying. The idea of a password manager, I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to try and explain it. I don't know what it is.
Sure. Well, I think it's a app on your phone that has all your, but it basically makes sure that all of your passwords are different and are unique, and it stores them all on there.
And it changes them up.
Yeah, it changes them up.
It changes them up regularly.
Oh, this is great, because so I do that on my own. You don't have, and it really messes with me.
Yeah, it's really hard.
And maybe if I explain this, this leads me up to cyber hackers, but I've got...
None of our listeners are cyber hackers, are you guys?
If you are a cyber hacker, do tweet us. Or hack our Twitter and just tweet from us.
I would love that.
No, don't say that, because that's very easy to do.
I would love that.
We haven't changed the password since we started our Twitter, so that's...
Oh, God, is Brenda going to do it?
Brenda could get in there.
Get straight in there.
If you are a cyber hacker... Please hack Eric.
Please hack Tom's Twitter and tweet from his Twitter. That's a good one, actually.
And change my profile pic to three pictures of Hitler.
a little montage of three pictures of Hitler.
I get less and less worried about cybercrime and stuff like that the more that the quality of the episodes of Black Mirror decline. The more that those episodes get worse, they scare me less and I don't get as scared. I'm kind of fine now. Yeah.
Maybe that was Charlie Brooker's plan. To manage our kind of... dread by just making things slowly feel more okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's just walking us into the future.
Yeah,
he's like sort of the anti Adam Curtis. He doesn't make you, because Adam Curtis makes you freak out about stuff you never even thought about before.
Yeah,
whereas Charlie Brooker is like, are our phones following us? Yeah, but it's fine.
End of episode.
But honestly, seriously, who gives a fuck about you? You know. Who gives a fuck? If you're worried about just about everyone.
Oh, I thought you were having a pop at Charlie Brooker then.
No, not Brooker. I love Brooker's work. I like that Bandersnatch episode. That was great fun.
I had a problem with that episode.
Oh yeah, what was it?
The weird acting that the person had to do when the pause bits happened.
Oh yeah.
I kept thinking about what would that be if it'd be where it's like, you know, the bit where it's like, do you want tea or coffee? And he kind of goes, tea or coffee. And then, the band's going down the bottom.
But he's still there doing it.
And in the meantime, he's going, tea or coffee? And it was like, that's every advert casting I've ever gone to.
It's
tea or coffee?
It's Neighbours acting, isn't it?
Or coffee? I'll have a coffee. And that once that, you know, the third one of those, I was like, I can't be can't be dealing with this.
And that's it.
So poured tea on the computer. And
so your episode of Bandersnatch you watched was just, you decided what to have for his lunch and then you finished watching it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few snacks.
Bandersnack.
Yeah, but, oh.
Bandersnack. No, lovely, okay, stuff. Okay. Lovely
thank
stuff.
Thank you, James. You can come
I
back.
I liked it a lot.
Clark, you'll start clapping in about 5 minutes for you. When the penny drops.
Oh, Invisalign.
But anyway, so basically, what all I'm saying is, you know, if you're worried about cybercrime, get over yourself. So, have we solved the beef? I don't feel like we have. But
I think he should break up with his girlfriend.
Right.
Wow.
First things first.
That was bold.
I mean, I actually think you're on something here, because if you're with a partner who is prepared to think the worst of you purely on finding Margaret Thatcher's autobiography in your room,
yeah,
are they the one for you?
She nearly broke up with him, mate. If his words are true there...
It's going to happen in a few months anyway.
Just get out of that, mate.
Yeah. rip off the bandage. End it.
Yeah.
And you know what? End it by giving her a copy of Thatcher's autobiography.
Yeah.
Saying, she's amazing, you're not.
You could never be her.
You could never be her, yeah.
You could never be the Iron Lady.
I'm shutting you down like the mines.
Yeah. Just be wave her off while drinking a glass of milk.
Yeah, eating a Mr. Whippy.
What
yeah.
is Thatcher's autobiography called?
What is Thatcher's autobiography called?
Mm, yeah.
Good question.
What would you call maybe Thatcher's autobiography?
I mean,
Scab.
It must be called something like this.
It suggests a sort of level of self-awareness that I don't think she has, or sort of self-loathing that I don't think she had.
No.
What about...
Ironed On.
Ironed On is good. I was going to say Thatcher Way, aha, I like it.
Yeah, very good. That's her Edinburgh show.
Yes, that's
her Edinburgh show. The trend of Edinburgh shows, that's why her Edinburgh show would be. And it'd have like a bright pink background and she'd be wearing a bright pink suit.
Yeah.
Like, <whoa. laughs> How about No Margarets?
No Margarets.
No
Margarets.
No Margaret Rien. These are all good.
So basically, a break up with your girlfriend. Crack on with the Thatcher autobiography. She's a great lady. Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef solved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you want to do yours, James?
Sure. Sure, here we go.
Front names only, please.
Okay. Matthew.
Thank you, James.
Matt, this guy says, actually. Oh. Hi, Pappies.
Hi.
And James A. Kastner. I hope you can help. yeah, sorry. And James. I hope you can help. Both my wife and I will occasionally buy nice treats to eat. She will put hers in the cupboard for later. I will almost always immediately eat mine. Mm. She leaves hers for... So this guy's grammar and spelling is all over the shop, first of all.
Okay, well, firstly, we've got a real problem with you, Matt.
Yeah. hers for so long, Matt. Not she leaves her for so long.
She leaves hers for so long.
Unless the treat is a lady.
That'd be a twist at the end.
That would be a twist. Well, let's find out. It'd be a real Black Mirror.
Polyamory.
She leaves hers for so long, brackets, but apparently hasn't forgotten them. Close brackets.
She's a pleasure delayer.
Until they go off.
Oh.
That's
delaying the pleasure for too long.
Sometimes I'll just eat hers as it's out of date. Other times I'll remind her of its existence, but she won't want it at that point, leaving it longer until it's inedible. Yet I'm always in the wrong if I eat it.
Whoa.
What the fudge, man?
Is it fudge?
Guys,
does fudge
Matt,
go off?
It sounds like it's fudge. And he hasn't got, once again, in classic Matt fashion, has not put a comma between fudge and man, so he's talking about a fudge man.
What fudge the fudge man?
What the fudge man? That's a different inquiry.
Yeah.
It's like Ghostbusters nightmarish.
Yeah.
Oh, like a bloke who's made all out of fudge.
Yes, please.
Sure. He'll look a little bit like the he'll look a little bit like the thing out of Dogma.
Yeah, yeah. The shit demon.
The shit demon. The Golgotha. That thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Made out of fudge.
Haven't watched that in a while.
We thought Dogma was, because we were amazing. Christian. Yeah, we went along and we were like, "Whoa, man." He's blowing our minds.
The loudness Morissette is gone.
Yeah.
I remember you went back to church and you scrubbed out Jarvis and you wrote Kevin next to it. Two equally
silent
nerdy
silent
names.
Bomb. Yeah.
Praise Kevin for Jarvis, it says now. Really weird message.
So we're talking about this Matt.
I think this is interesting because this is like, I would say to Matt that, well, for one, he's got, I mean, I don't,
you've
really
got
know.
Real beef with him already because of, it doesn't feel like you're impartial anymore with Matt.
Well, for starters, they should break up.
You've got, no, hang on, hang on, hang on.
This is like having Daniel Sloss on this episode. Breaking up couples left, right and centre. Stop nicking Sloss's gear, I guess.
Oh, no, Sloss, we could all get people to break up.
I think the vital piece of the puzzle that we're missing here is the nature of the treats.
Okay. Yes.
Because how things age, like if your treat is, if they're like, oh, we've got some lovely milk. Oh, here we go.
Thatcher's back.
Yeah, exactly. This will show Thatcher. Oh, lovely bit of milk. Let's put it in the cupboard. And he's like, don't put it in the cupboard. Don't put it in the cupboard, mate. And then she's like, no, it's for later. Like, that would be
Tom,
a different
I'm
beat.
I'm going to say your imagined scenario is completely bogus. There's no way, Matt. They've got bigger problems. If the problem is they go out and buy milk together as a treat and then leave it in the cupboard.
Also, I mean,
or if it's at the opposite end of the scale is if it's a bottle of wine. It's like, it's going off. Sure.
That's good.
That wine's going to spoil.
Going down to the cellar. No, Matt, you do not understand wine. But if it's like Battenberg or
that
something.
Blossom Hill is only going to get better.
That Battenberg. Like, sure. Battenberg feels like that's going to improve.
I don't know. No,
Battenberg will probably grow mould and stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Battenberg, I think Battenberg's got a real shelf life. It's quite a long shelf life.
Battenberg's actually weirdly, I don't know, a cake or something is the only kind of like, I'll accept his point of view if it's a cake. If it's a chocolate bar or chocolates or something, they're fine leaving that for ages, isn't it? And he should back off. If it's fruit, then that's insane that that's their treat. But like,
the health nuts.
It being in the cupboard is unreasonable.
Treats are health nuts.
If the treat is cake or biscuits, which either one of them will kind of like start to lose their vibe, and lose their je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. They'll lose their USP.
They'll lose their Vava Voom.
Yeah, Vava Voom is what I was looking for. I was looking for Vava Voom. But that'll fade over time. And I kind of understand that a bit.
We've all gone to sweetness for treats, haven't we?
Oh, what's the savoury treat, though? What would you...
What are your treats?
My treats are all sweet treats, really. Although my favourite is the combo. Anything that's salty and sweet.
Oh, absolutely.
Cheese and pineapple.
Cheese and pineapple.
You go and eat Caster's house.
Stuck into a grapefruit. So they get home, they cover a grapefruit in foil, they stick a little cheese and pineapple in, they put it in the cupboard, and he's like, that will go off, guys.
We can't wait until our birthdays to do that.
my treat is ice cream at the moment.
Yeah.
I've got a really bad... two episodes of Love Island and a tub of ice cream habit.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. And I'm getting up in the morning and I'm running. And
so you're going to go getting up in the morning. I'm
running to the shop. I'm waiting for it to open.
Bang on the door.
I've started getting, and it's not as good, the low-calorie Ben & Jerry's.
Not as good.
It's okay. The chocolate cookie dough.
I don't
okay.
feel with that. What's the point?
It's less calories.
I know, but if you're eating ice cream in the first place, it's not like you know, it's never going to be good for you.
No, you're
you
right.
You might as well go all out if you're going to do it, but do it on occasion, right?
Yeah, I'm like that with salads. I hate it when they put dressing on it, because I'm like, well, now this is pointless.
Yeah.
You've just dumped a whole load of sugary, syrupy stuff on it. The only reason I'm eating this is to feel less guilty and be healthy in some way.
Yeah. When I briefly got into the MyFitnessPal app, if you type anything from like Pret-a-Manger or anything like that into it, the little pot they give you of the sauce, that's all the calories there, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Right.
If you chuck that away.
They even say that on the thing. They're like, It's only this much calories, and then in brackets, it's
three times
without,
as much, yeah, yeah.
without the sauce.
Yeah.
So what I do now is I eat the ice cream with a little top of that Pret sauce.
Oh,
yeah,
and it's horrible, but
it's sweet and it's savoury. Yeah. It's got that vavavoom I've been looking for.
I love
for.
It.
I just saved them up the pots and shot them before
night
attack.
Shot pot.
Yeah, and then the calories will just see me through the night. Then
yeah.
I've given up alcohol. I've taken up calories.
So we don't know what the treats are is the problem with this.
No, we
but
don't.
Either way, actually, regardless of knowing what the treats are, I would say it says I'm always in the wrong if I eat it. Is what he said.
So
in that case,
break
stop eating them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's
like it's very easy. Oh, every time I touch that electric fence, I get electrocuted. Well, stop touching the fucking fence. Stop eating. See it like this, mate. The whole point, your treat is that you eat it straight away and you want to eat that lovely treat.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Her treat is knowing that her partner will leave her treat alone. That's her treat. She leaves it in the cupboard.
The knowledge that it's there.
She leaves it in the cupboard. She knows it's there. And him not eating it means the world to her.
Matt,
he keeps on eating it.
Matt, are you fucking a squirrel?
Yeah.
Let's be honest here, mate.
So base, Tom. Dating would have been fine.
You boffing a squirrel, bro.
You
boffing a squirrel.
At no point
bro.
In this letter does he say they're sleeping together, him and his wife.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Are you he courting?
He's got a wife.
Are you courting
are you married
a squirrel?
To a squirrel?
Are you courting a squirrel? Oh, it's his wife.
It's his wife. He married this.
Mate, you marry a squirrel, bro.
Right. So
you marry a squirrel, fam.
You can keep doing it, Tom.
Thank you. Oh, I never thought I'd get permission like that from you.
Sorry, Clarky.
Well, I was going to say, I think that is a good point, but also, I hate waste.
Yes, came to that point. It's not a good point.
Yeah,
if you don't touch an electric fence, that electric fence isn't going to be taken away.
Sure.
And burnt.
What?
Sure.
Wait, is the electric fence the wife or the treat? Because I'm not sure.
Or is it a squirrel? The wife's a squirrel.
Oh, the wife's a squirrel, of course.
An electric fence is... Yeah, sorry.
I think for Matt, he just needs to buy, for himself, 3-4 times as many snacks. Right?
No, yeah, but
you
don't
like
waste.
Snacks more.
Waste is the point. If you've got something in your fridge that's just gradually going off and the other person refuses to eat it, then it's better than waiting for a week and putting it in the bin. That's
for the good of the planet.
Nothing here says that she ever puts these things in the bin.
No.
She might want to get a chocolate bar and then be one of those people. You know, like sometimes on like Blue Peter, they would have an old woman who found a chocolate bar at the back of her fridge that was from like 1912.
Oh, yeah, or like a squirrel.
Or a squirrel, exactly. She might also be a squirrel. And Matt, do text us in and tell us, you fucking that squirrel, man. Squirrels are my favourite animal, by the way.
How much do you like them?
Not that much. Okay. But they're my favourite animal.
That's
favorite
a great animal. Choice.
Yeah,
it's I love great them. Choice.
I don't know if it is a great choice.
I absolutely love them.
They're pretty vicious. If you got near them, a squirrel would fuck you up.
Yeah, but then so would most animals if you mess with them.
My granny used to call them tree rats.
Tree rats.
Yes.
I hated squirrels. Cool.
How many? Hang on. How many people do you know have been attacked by a squirrel? Do you know anyone?
Have you been attacked?
Well, don't know people personally.
Well, we are surrounded.
You tried to fuck one, though.
We're surrounded by squirrels.
No, not true.
In this what? Studio, yeah. In a second, we're going to open a door.
In London, you are never further away than a metre from a squirrel.
I've never in my life felt surrounded by squirrels.
There's a fuck ton of squirrels in London, right? They're around and about.
No,
not way. True.
Not true.
Okay, here's what I'd say, right? If you said to me,
okay.
I'll say to you, give me 10 minutes.
Yes.
To get a picture of a squirrel.
Yeah.
I bet I could.
Let's send him out.
Do you want to do it?
No. Too tired.
All right. But so wait. So
I'll take.
In 10 minutes, you go out and get a photo of you of a squirrel within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a bigger note. I thought I was taking a tenner out of my pocket. Fiver? It's not really worth it, is it?
But I could.
Yeah?
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Do you think
you can
touch that squirrel and it wouldn't bite you?
No, I'm not saying touch it.
Never touch a squirrel.
Yeah. Just like my favourite animals I don't have to touch.
We're surrounded by squirrels. I know. Yeah. There's a lot of squirrels in...
I've seen squirrels in London. I'm not saying I haven't seen them. I just never...
I don't feel surrounded by them.
I don't go, we're fucking surrounded.
Bear in mind...
They're everywhere.
You don't feel intimidated by them.
Yeah, yeah.
Would the squirrels be a good horror movie? Like the birds?
Yes!
You think it would? No. I mean, any volume of animals is scary.
Says the master of horror.
I'd say it'd have to be... It could be like have you ever seen Black Sheep? That's like a comedy horror, I reckon you could do with squirrels. Mm. But I don't think it'd ever be truly scary.
Is Black Sheep like a sort of a herd of sheep following them around?
Yeah, it's like it's set in New Zealand and it's like...
Oh, it sounds good.
It's really good, actually.
I think about the moment where the camera pans around to look at a squirrel.
Yeah.
That's not going to be truly
terrifying.
No, it's not
going to be terrifying.
There's loads of them, though, liking the bird. Like, maybe if it wasn't that the whole film is the squirrels, but, like, if there's one... So if the whole film is animals just becoming, like, you know, possessed and attacking people.
I wrote a play.
And there's one scene where it's, like, loads of squirrels, and there's one person dies at the hands of, like, loads of squirrels in a park, then that would be pretty...
That's it.
They're having a picnic, and it's just, like...
Suddenly they leap on his nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So it's gradually at first. So it's having a nice picnic, and... And that one squirrel comes over. Oh, look at this guy. Oh, he helped himself to the... And oh, no, that's cute. Look at this squirrel. And then, like...
And suddenly there's one
on
the shoulder.
And the kid's like, Dad?
Clever girl.
And then, like, yeah, over the shoulder. Clever girl. And immediately bites him in the eye. Yeah.
Oh, the eye, not the eye.
Squirrel bites his eye. And
nature's
then,
nut.
Yeah.
The eye is very much nature's nut. And, then he'd be screaming, he'd be like, ah! And then there'd be squirrels like... biting the end of his tongue.
Yeah.
Oh God, it'd be awful.
When I was a student, I wrote a play about animals turning on humans and it being like that, basically.
Wow.
But then it very.
What was it called?
It was called. What was it called now?
Okay, this sounds like someone heard my great idea. I was trying to claim that he came up with it first, and I was trying to make up a name on the spot.
It's called The Fear and Dread of You.
Oh, yeah. That's a good name, actually.
It's actually a very good one.
She's based on, there's the Bible references, what God says to Noah at the end of the flood.
It's a very Crizzo episode.
Go forth, and the fear and dread of you will fall over the whole animal kingdom. It's kind of the idea that got reversed. And so like, the first act I thought was really good of the play, because it was like all the exciting stuff of the animals taking on humans. But then it rapidly descended into a breakup play.
Yeah.
Because I was a student who'd been through a breakup.
Sure.
So it was like the guy and the girl who'd broken up end up in the same room together. The last two humans alive.
Nice.
And they have to ask whether to start the human race again or not.
Yeah, start the human race again, because I did one of your plays, which was about starting the human race again at university. What was that one called?
Potential is a Myth and I Love You.
Potential is a Myth and I Love You. That's right.
Good titles. Yeah. Very samey scripts.
Yeah,
but like I love the titles.
I really like coming up with titles for things.
Yeah, yeah.
This was about they decided like all like four or five people got together and decided to bury the world in sand.
What?
Bury the world in sand.
I like it.
And I was basically like the punchline of the play in that I was under the sand, right? So there's a big sand pit that Tom had built.
Yeah.
And I was hidden under the sand.
Yes.
I was like the last person in the gang who was still burrowing his way up.
Yeah.
And so I had a monologue that was on tape that you didn't hear. Because everyone thought I'd turned into a... Do you think I turned into an orange or a
they think,
or a Twix
yeah, that's
or
what they... Basically, these five people emerge from the sand at the start of the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's Matthew's character?
Oh, right,
and it's like,
yes.
He's been left behind.
Yeah.
And they can't deal with the fact that they've left someone behind. And so there's an orange. Someone finds an orange and they're like, maybe, oh, this is him.
So they're
like, oh, this is Matthew. So the orange is there. And they refer to the orange as Matthew all the way through. And then at one point, the orange does a monologue because you think it's Matthew.
Yeah.
But then you emerge right at the very end.
Then I popped out the sand at the end and went, boy, that was some fun. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was great.
It was, and you had to lie there for the hour?
First night I was buried under the sand, I, for some reason, no idea, because I thought, oh, I have to kneel up. So I buried myself with my legs underneath me.
Oh, no.
Real mistake. So I lay with my like legs underneath me, like lying on my back, but with my knees sort of like my shins touching my thighs.
Yeah.
That was a mistake because like I could immediately feel both my legs going.
We'd never really practiced.
But how are you breathing?
Doing that
Through a straw.
So you were literally lying under sand with a straw in your mouth.
Such is my commitment to art and to great playwriting.
Could you not have found a way of faking that?
What do you mean find a way of faking?
You don't find a way, like, it's like, you know,
student theatre, mate, you don't fake it.
The top of the sand, yeah, the top of the sand is real, but underneath there's like a box and you're under the, you know.
This was in a studio theatre. It was in a black theater. Box studio theatre, yeah. probably like tops of 50-seater.
Yeah.
So they built a sand pit in the...
Yeah, we'd had like about, I don't know, 10 sacks of builder sand delivered.
Wow. Yeah. And I was under the sand and poof, up at the end. Wow.
And everyone was so angry with us because we got sand everywhere in that black box theatre.
Yeah. Because then you could, because also what you normally do after a play is you sweep everything out and paint over the top of it. But of course that just turned all the walls into sandpaper. Recently. Yes. So if anyone,
very abrasive,
yeah, very abrasive studio. Surface after that.
When you're doing the physical warm-ups, oh, chafe.
Proper chafe. Proper chafe during that zip-zap boing. Have we solved the beef?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm veering more towards my first answer again.
Break up.
Is that your sort of solution for most things?
The waste thing has made me think, yeah, bad person.
I don't know. I think I like the idea that Tom's put forward of the comfort of there being just knowing there's something in the cupboard, but not necessarily going for it. And it doesn't matter if it's off. Sure. Just knowing it's there and knowing that your partner's not touching it.
Can't he then do a thing where, say, they're in a box, you just try and pretend they're still in there?
Schrodinger snacks,
yeah. So you get a box, like you get a tin... that you claim is full of... So, like, basically, you've got to do, like, the Indiana Jones thing. You've got to replace it with something of equivalent sort of weight.
Bag of sand,
exactly, yeah.
But what if she comes in a hurry, is like, great, those choco rolls, and bangs a bag of sand down her throat?
Well, then you can say, I think you've left them for so long, they turn into sand.
Perfect.
Do you know what?
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef! Beef solved!
Okay.
Which one is your one again?
Evaporating man.
Ah, yeah. Let's do that.
The evaporating man.
Let's get to it.
Sounds like one of those, you know, the problems that your dad would tell you on a walk. Huh? Okay.
What?
Wait, hang on a sec.
Those problems your dad would tell you on a walk.
Yeah, you know, like where it'd be like.
Or like a riddle, you mean?
John and Sam.
Sorry,
on the floor.
Okay.
I thought your dad had problems.
No, like.
The way you said it made it seem like your dad was like, come on, son. I've got to take you for a walk.
Oh no! Like,
oh God,
I've you'd got be like,
these, I buy these treats and your mum eats them. All I want is my treats to be in the
evaporating milkman. Like you'd be walking up Catterick. Did you just go on walks as kids?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it'd be like,
that's not the bit we find weird, Tom. You don't understand.
You'd be 40 minutes in, and your dad'd do the whole, you know.
The doctor was a woman, that kind of one. Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah. My dad has problems with female doctors. Yeah, exactly. It is a problem.
Yeah. That's his problem.
The doctor was a woman, all right?
A doctor who saved my life.
Dad, stop talking about it. Brothers and sisters?
Parents have different incentives to get through the walks. My dad would just be sweets because he knew what Ancaster kids like.
So oh, really? Like,
when we get to that next checkpoint, you get some... Get some of these sweets or Kendall mint cake or whatever it was that he had on him. So, yeah, we would. And also, the rule was if we asked for them, we didn't get them.
Didn't get them.
So, the period of time would get longer if we asked.
Right. It's like it's a bit like that test you can do when you put a sweet in front of a kid and you say, if you don't eat this sweet, you get loads of sweets.
Yes.
He was sort of doing that for you.
Yeah.
If you can avoid asking for it,
yeah,
you can have as many as you like.
Yeah.
What lesson?
What you did.
What are you getting from that? What's the lesson?
Well, whatever lesson I did learn, it's been completely undone by the fact my dad is an absolute sweet guzzler as an adult. So when I say as an adult, I mean like since I've become an adult, and he's just gone like let the mask slip and go. Well, we're both adults now, so I'm going to just be myself. And then you go, oh, this guy has no self control whatsoever. So like, I don't know what lesson I was being taught.
What's he eating?
Oh, he loves. He's like me. He loves chocolate, he loves ice cream, he loves cake. He loves sweets more than I do. I'm not as big into, like, you know, like hard-boiled sweets or wine gums and stuff like that and jelly babies, but he'd be more into those sweets than I am. But, like,
You live alone, you can guzzle away.
I can guzzle away, but then I'm still quite... I tell you what, he probably has taught me a lesson.
Here you go.
Because I am quite controlled, because I have, like, a very sensible box that has the treats in.
It doesn't sound like a sensible box.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Actually, my treat box. What are you talking about?
It's a bit of a silly box, actually. got my treats in it. But I'm very controlled with it.
So if you sit down on the sofa and you say, James,
yeah,
can I have a sweet? You then go, no, James.
Yeah, not until you've done your chores.
Because you've asked.
Yeah, yeah,
you can't
yeah,
have
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's another day. You can't have a treat box.
I do that to myself. I'm doing like Gollum voices at myself. You can't have a treat, can you? I just want a treat, though. Please, Daddy.
I mean, it's not the best Gollum impression, but I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to do the actual Gollum one. You know, that's hack, right? People have done it.
Sure.
It's passé.
I have to make it my own.
It's hack to do the voice, but it's not hack to reference the voice and do a completely different voice.
That's my approach to any impression. That's my approach to any impression. Now it's hack to be good at doing David
Attenborough.
Hack
to actually be able to do it.
And so instead I can do this.
Yeah.
That was actually not a bad
The Josh Berries of the world.
I like Josh Berry.
I love Josh Berry.
Do you know what? Literally yesterday I was thinking of Josh Berry and I thought, if I saw Josh Berry in the street, I would freak out.
Yeah, I think I'd be more excited about meeting Josh Berry than him meeting me.
Yeah, I'd be so excited to meet Josh Berry.
I'd be like, oh my God, Josh Berry's here. Josh Berry is somebody who does impressions of me.
Oh, I know.
And that's why I can't really.
I know him well.
What's his catchphrase? Is it fair play?
It is fair play.
Yeah.
To the point now where there's like one line in my show where I say fair play and he gets a much bigger laugh than it ever used to, because there's just people that have seen the Josh Berry impression.
Wow.
So he's like, made it my catchphrase without it being my catchphrase.
It's a bit like Beam Me Up Scotty, isn't it?
Sure.
They never said it, but yeah, everyone thinks of Beam Me Up Scotty.
Yeah.
Fair play has become a thing you don't really say.
Yeah, I don't really say it, but he's really picked up on it.
You should add a few more fair plays into it.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely said it once or twice.
If you're worried about, you know, if you think there's a bit of a lull in this bit.
Yeah.
Whacking a fair play.
I kind of have. there were some bits of the show where I'm like, oh, it's kind of we're kind of flagging at this point. At the end, I say, fair play. I love it. You love it. It's onto something.
Can you do any impressions?
No, I'm not good at impressions at all. No, I'm not very good. That's annoying, isn't it? I would love to be good at
just another gear.
Doing an I mean, everyone does a Widdicombe impression, obviously.
Everyone does a Widdicombe.
And anytime,
Tom's Widdicombe is awful, though, isn't it?
Yes.
That was better than I expected it to
be. A bit better.
It's closer to Yoda.
Yas.
Yas. Right, let's go to this evaporating man, shall we?
Oh, yeah, the evaporating man.
Okay, so.
Like we said, it's a quick
or
one.
It sounds like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yes.
That's probably more, that's what I should have said.
Oh, it sounds like a Sherlock Holmes story, yes.
Yeah.
So you say, let's get into it, and then
we discuss okay. Sherlock for a while.
Front names only.
I think I just unplugged something.
Have you unplugged something?
No.
Have you unplugged? Oh, you might have unplugged it. It's just headphones.
It's okay, my own headphones that I wasn't using. It's fine.
Are we okay, Emma? Emma's given us the nod and the smile. Cool.
And then she evaporates.
Emma's evaporated.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Nice bit of space work. Emma actually hid under the desk too. It would have been much better if she'd literally gone straight up.
Go straight up next time.
Do that.
She's done it. On the third day, she rose again. Clarky.
Very biblical.
Very biblical episode. Now, Clarky, stop beating around the bush and get on with it.
I feel like we should just do this one next time, because now it'll be even more.
No cliffhangers. We don't really get repeat listens.
<It's good.
laughs> One shot, one kill.
One shot, one kill every time.
Yeah. And funnily, weirdly, just the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, just the first five. We're the most popular podcast in the world. Everyone loves that first 5 minutes.
Okay, so India writes.
India.
The nation.
No.
The whole nation.
And club together.
Yeah. I tell you what, Alanis Morissette,
thank you, India.
She's in Dogma.
She played
it's
God.
All clicking together.
Oh,
she is God.
Guys.
Who wrote this episode? M. Night Shyamalan.
are we all going to become Christians again, guys?
Are we all going to become Christians again?
At the end of this, are we all going to be Christians again?
Should we start our own religion?
I'm more interested in going back to church than I am, because I don't want to do the grunt work. I just want to be sitting there in the pew with a key, carving away.
And it can be,
here's a question.
Yeah.
Out of the four of us, if we all started our own religions like separately, which of us would be the first one to become corrupt with power? and starts super
parry 100%.
Yep. I said that knowing what the answer is. Now,
who would go Jim Jones and go mad on like barbiturates and start shagging everyone and then eventually murder everybody? I reckon, you know what?
Wow.
I tell you what, I reckon you do the shagging, but I reckon I'd probably do the murder.
Genuinely upset by that news that we all think that would be him.
Yeah, I know. Everyone looking at me. What's the...
You're a charismatic leader, is all I'm saying.
Jesus was a charismatic leader.
I think you would want to sleep with everyone's wives. I think that would happen.
Really?
No funny business. No kids or anything.
You'd be doing it in a friendly way.
People of age.
They'd all be there in their yellow T-shirts. And
nothing wrong with having a uniform.
Yeah.
It could be quite wild, wild country, actually, for you. Everyone wearing yellow instead of everyone wearing red. Yeah. I like that, actually.
Good, yeah. I we were watching Wild Wild Country, and
you and your wives.
Yeah, me and my wives, and it keeps going one way or the other, doesn't it? And I went in at the end of one episode. I went in for a joke, dressed all in, got all my red clothes out, and came back to watch the next episode all in red, being like very pro the cult. And it was just before they turned, and it was like, I was dressed all in red, and I was like,
you did a similar thing halfway through Schindler's List, didn't you?
Got my three books of Hitler out.
Absolutely. Whack them on the shelf. So, Clarkie, we're on 10 talks about this evaporating man here.
Yeah,
You're really burying the lead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, India writes, The Evaporating Man. Starts with a title. It's beautiful. Yeah. My boyfriend looks as though he's evaporated when taking off his clothes to get into bed.
What? She's a poet.
Leaves them there until I put them in the wash. So it's she's actually drawn a little picture.
Oh, right. Okay, I get it.
So it's the foot of the bed and his clothes just lying.
So the actual beef is my boyfriend takes his clothes off to get to go to bed.
And just leaves them,
and
on,
leaves
the
them on the floor.
But the drawing suggests that he leaves them on the floor.
In a pattern.
In like he's laid them out like a Neil Buchanan would a big art attack. So it's like,
now that's a religion I can get on board.
Yeah. So there's the trousers, you know, are laid out on the floor, not in a crumpled heap. They're laid out like in full, and then above the trousers, the top in full as well. Yeah. So he's done that.
Yeah.
Is that
so? He's just disappeared into thin air.
Is that a? I mean, is it a problem? Does it say she doesn't pick him up? He doesn't pick him up ever.
Yeah. So she has to put until I put them in the wash.
Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah. So they all pile up on the floor.
That's the problem. He basically evaporates every single night onto the floor, and she has to put them away.
Yeah.
Well, this is an open and closed shut beefcase, isn't it?
Absolutely. Break He's up. Totally in the right.
Beef solved. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved. James.
Yes.
Have you got a flat share based beef that you would like Fanshawe Standen to solve?
I have.
Okay, let's hear it.
And that's you, right?
Wait, hold on.
I'm going to leave.
He's going to leave in a second.
But we're going to hear it first.
Yeah, we'll hear the beef first. We'll chat about it. Oh. Then Tom's going to leave because he needs the loo, and Fanshawe is going to come in. He needs the loo.
Really?
Again.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of? Okay, so the thing is, I may have misunderstood this bit.
That's okay.
And I thought, I clearly misread your text, Matthew.
Yeah.
And I read the text as saying, have a question for Parry. Now, that's maybe not what you write. You probably wrote something else, Fanshawe, and I misread it and thought it said Parry.
I might have just said for Parry to solve,
but
actually.
I have thought
I
about Tom's expertise in this question.
Do you know what?
I tried to draw from his expertise, but clearly someone else is going to come.
We can hear Parry's.
Let's hear the question.
Let's rest Fanshawe for a week and hear Parry's response.
So I started
a religion.
I started a religion that I want to fuck all the wives. Yes. and the squirrel, if I may. Okay. So I used to live with three wonderful people who were really into fancy dress parties. They would have regular big fancy dress parties.
Yes.
And I always felt like I was a bit of a letdown. I always felt like I didn't really pull my weight. I didn't my fancy, like, my costume wasn't as good as theirs. And also, like, before I lived there's a guy named John who lived there, and I know we're not doing like full names, but his name was John Leslie, and I think that's funny. But he's also a lovely man. But there were photos all around the flat of the four of them together at the old fancy dress parties, and he really pulled out all the stops.
And you had a lot of pressure there.
They were all in amazing costumes, and I always felt like, you know, I'd be like making my excuses.
What's your approach to a fat dress party?
So one that I remember that it was the theme, because they've done so many that the theme's got more and more kind of like, you know, obscure and stuff. And once the theme was The Beautiful and the Damned was the theme.
This sounds like a parry party already.
Great thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like one of your plays.
It really does.
Yeah, it could be a parry play. At the end, it was we wanted to repopulate civilization.
Go as a box of sand.
Yeah. So I went to that as the kid in American Beauty who's filming the plastic bag all the time because it's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen.
Sure.
So I had a kid, but then the costume in general, I thought that'd be a good way of doing an easy costume. So I had the beanie hat, white T-shirt, a camcorder and a plastic bag that I kept throwing around the room and filming the plastic bag, which gave me a fun bit of business to do.
Lovely bit of business.
When we all had our photo together at the end, the three of them looked better and I just looked like a guy in a T-shirt.
Yeah.
I felt like it wasn't as good.
I think if you'd attached the plastic bag to the end of the camcorder,
I was always filming it.
Always out in front of you.
So said I was throwing it around the room, but I should have had it sort of always filming the. Oh, that's much better.
Exactly.
I think what you want is a costume that is constantly on the go, right? So if there is something happening on the costume, it needs to be always happening. It shouldn't require you to go, oh, and by the way, watch this, frumpf, you know?
Yeah.
So like,
sure.
Like when I built a Ghostbusters backpack for my wife, it was like, it was always flashing lights.
It was really good.
Yeah. So it was like the lights were always flashing. It wasn't like turn it on and here we go. It's like it was always, it was always on the go. And I think a little bit of sort of wire, like that's all it would have needed.
A little bit of coat hanger
with the bag hanging off on a bit of a...
But it was a great...
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, from the theme, that's really strong.
The actual...
What it feels like is you're an ideas man, not an executioner.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
So it feels like your ideas are going to be strong, but you might need to get a bit of a...
To workshop them.
Look at the design of it. Scale it up.
Yeah.
Always go for size with your ideas. Make it big.
What would you have gone for if it was The Beautiful and the Damned and you were attending that party?
That's a very good question.
That's a great question.
I think, in my head, I'm thinking you want to go half and half.
Yes!
Right.
So you need to go for like a split.
Do the whole thing.
I mean, Churchill and Hitler?
Yeah. Half Churchill. Who's beautiful? Who's
Churchill?
Churchill's beautiful.
Yes.
You've got a very strange. I mean, actually,
like good and evil.
In later years, I can see you turning into Churchill.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Thank you.
I can see the champagne for breakfast, the brandies, the cigars, being pushed around in a wheelchair.
I didn't even deliberately do that. I heard Clarkie did the joke. I didn't do the joke.
You just went for a Winston Churchill.
I just meant it genuinely, like, oh, yes, I could definitely see you having the brandy. But then I realised that that's what it sounded like and that's the joke you were doing. I thought, have I just, like, subconsciously done that? That's quite scary, actually.
You're advertising that funny. Yeah. You're just subconsciously
jokes. I'm that susceptible to advertising and stuff. I hear the word advertising and just go, I hear the word Churchill and immediately, oh, that's quite scary.
Have you had a housewarming party yet?
No, I haven't.
What I think, I think the solution to your beef is you've got to throw a housewarming party.
Yes,
you've got to fancy dress it.
Yes,
big strong theme,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got to have the best costume.
Yes,
and make sure the three of them are there and get that photo.
Yeah,
yeah,
get the photo with the three of them.
That's a great idea.
I did it.
That's the way to do it.
What is the
theme of your housewarming?
Saved by the Bell. That's too specific.
I think so.
You're going to be wearing a T-shirt, a beanie.
Yeah.
You're going to essentially recycle the same costume.
It's got to be
thematic.
The theme is
the kid from American Beauty who films the carrier bag.
Home?
Home is a good one.
For a housewarming?
Tugs at the heartstrings.
Do you know what I would go? I mean, this is slightly trampling on your thing, but I'd go as David Byrne with the lamp.
Very nice.
You know, from Stop Making Sense when he does Naive Melody.
I think home is a good theme.
Home is a good theme.
Because you can take it whatever way you want to.
Yeah.
If you're from Wolverhampton, someone could be thinking about
a giant pigeon.
Homes under the hammer. Yeah, there's a lot of homing.
A giant heart.
Home is where the heart is.
Homer Simpson,
which again I just said.
Did you say that? Yeah. I am absolutely switching off.
Homer Simpson, is it?
You can tell when we get to the end of the podcast. I was going, the theme could be home, guys.
What I like, it's always great to have someone on the show who not only doesn't listen to previous episodes, but doesn't even listen to the episode they're
not
on.
The one he's on.
Oh, they're here.
Not the one he's on.
Doesn't understand the concept of this bit. Tom, do you want to go and very quickly apologise to Fanshawe?
Yes. Oh, he understands.
Too tired to get up. Fair enough.
He's gone home.
All right. Thank you so much for
thank
coming
you,
on the show.
Thank
James.
You so much for cheers, coming, guys. On my podcast.
He's taken over.
Flip reversed it.
This is how he does it. I guess we have to host off menu now.
Homer Simpson.
Welcome to Homer Pods. It's been lovely having you on the show. See you soon. From the sorting
out your beef. All right. Well, there we go.
What an episode.
What an episode.
It was a very fun episode. And I think we can agree that we didn't really solve any beefs. That was the best thing about it, I thought.
Yeah, just basically split up with your partner. That's it.
That's always got for you. If you've got a partner, break up with them.
Some very open and open beef cases. Yeah.
And do use the hashtag, guys. Open and open beef cases.
Yes, that's right. Well, what have we got to tell you? We've got some live gigs coming up.
We have got some live gigs coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to be at the End of the Road Festival in just a few days' time, the 30th of August. So get yourself down there. If you're already coming to the festival, we're going to be at midday doing a Flatshare Slam Down live. We would love you to be there.
What a lineup that festival has.
It's really strong.
And it's going to be a really good music festival.
Absolutely. And also, we're at the London Podcast Festival on the 8th of September at 7 p.m.
Lovely.
Yes, that should be very good. Also, if you would like to contribute to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Great.
This is key. We would love to hear more flatshare-based beefs from you. We've had a few via email. We get a few at our live nights, but we love it when you email us in. It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Do email us in,
yes.
And I guarantee if you email us in, we will read that email. That's the end of the guarantee, I'm afraid.
That's our guarantee.
I will definitely...
You will read
I
it.
I will read it, and...
That's it.
That's as much as I can guarantee.
Clark and I are keeping stum here, because we can guarantee nothing. And also, if you are enjoying our podcast, please support us on Patreon. We cannot do it without the support of our Patreon neighbours. So please join, and if you listen at the end of the episode, we'll be giving a shout-out on the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
Also, if you'd like to leave us a review, 5 stars on iTunes will make our day.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's fair to say. This is from a fan of Repetition who writes, truly inspiring. I think this is actually from the Dehydrate episode of House Meeting.
Oh, baby.
He says, I listen for the always entertaining buffoonery. Lovely turn of phrase.
Lovely.
But I've never felt moved to review until today's episode.
Gosh.
Here we go. I was simply blown away by the bravery of the topics discussed so openly. Real issues many of us face every day, being given the exposure they so badly need. Hashtag stay hydrated. Thank you so much, a fan of Repetition. We love you very much. If you'd like to leave a review, go to iTunes, 5 stars, or to do it. This episode was produced...
Famously
produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team!
Legend.
And please stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Cheers everyone! Bye! Please be upstanding for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. He's lost in a forest. It's Robert Tobias Norris.
He will enchant Bruno Vincent.
She, well, what can I say about her? She will, she's losing her marbles. It's Laura Sharples.
He is always acceptable. He's always back. Jesus Christ. He is susceptible to bribery. That's right. He'll take a bung. It's John Young.
As the Manic Street Preachers famously carved onto their bodies, we are not fake, or words to that effect. And who was watching? It was Ray Blake.
He's done some yoga, so his joints are feeling very loose.
Clarkie's had a fucking breakdown.
Oh my God.
Can we apologise to John Lewis?
I'm sorry.
John, we're so sorry, mate.
Never knowingly undersold until today. You've been totally undersold there, mate.
Huge fan of your shop. I'm so sorry,
Great
mate.
Christmas adverts, but we've done an absolute shocker. That's, by the way, our pitch for the next Christmas advert.
Yeah.
It's Clarkie, sweating, red-faced, going cross-eyed. John, if you're interested, get in touch, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.